Hey, thank you for downloading the Brandon Baxter in the Morning podcast, powered by Ashley Home Store. Right now, get up to 20% off store-wide, plus there's an option to pay no interest for up to 36 months, or enjoy 60 months no interest for a limited time. There's fresh new looks at amazing prices store-wide at Ashley Home Store. This is home on Fair Park Boulevard in Jonesboro.
Get up! Brandon Baxter in the Morning.
All right, the After Show podcast is on. Today is August the 7th, and we talked about kind of doing like some theme After Show podcasts to kind of give you an insight into the people behind the microphones. And we flipped a coin, and David won.
Hey.
So today we learn more about our friend David.
Yeah.
David from Wiener, Arkansas, born and raised. Mm-hmm. On the playgrounds where he spent most of his days.
That's right. Thank you.
Chilling out, maxing, relaxing, all cool out, shooting some b-ball outside of the school. Then a couple of guys who were up to no good started making trouble in his neighborhood.
He got in one little fight and his mom got scared.
And he moved with his auntie and his uncle to Wiener.
Good one. That's pretty impressive.
It's my Maui coffee, thanks to our friends, the Cobbles.
I know.
Yeah, that was so nice of them.
They live in Hawaii and they sent us Maui coffee. And their note was really sweet and... Let's go ahead, just for the people who maybe haven't checked out the full show yet or haven't gotten all the way through it, read this note. This is what, it's just cool because they're our friends and they listen to the podcast and we kind of keep them up to date with what's happening at home. It's a really sweet note.
Kelly, Brandon, and David, we know you've had a lot on your plates lately. The passing of your good friend, feeling under the weather, trying to finish the summer strong, and getting kids ready for school. Y'all have been on our hearts and in our prayers. Just wanted to send a little happiness from Maui. Stay strong and keep up the good work. Warmest aloha, John and Leslie.
Dang.
That's really sweet.
It is really sweet. Thanks, guys.
Sometimes I think that we forget, people, they know so much about us based on what we talk about on the air. Because we really do. I mean, we are pretty wide open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So thanks to them. We gave them a special tribute song in the middle of the full show. If you haven't checked out the full show, you can go and do that today. David also did a Beyonce deal in the full show, where it's interesting.
Yeah, you can that's go one check way
it
to
out.
Put it.
Go check it out. He's also been imitating Butthead a lot lately.
I don't try to. It's just like, it just happens.
All right, so let's go back to David. Date that you were born, David.
June 2nd of 1993.
Hospital?
St. Bernard's in Jonesboro.
Let's see here. So, parents?
John and Laura.
All right. From?
Dad's from Wiener. Mom is from Harrisburg.
All right. So, they came together.
Yes.
Poinsett County represents. Shout out to Poinsett County.
What up, Poco?
So, your whole background with your life, what do you remember the most about your childhood? What was your favorite thing to do?
When I was really little, I used to watch Star Wars all the time. So I'd watch Return of the Jedi, which is always my favorite one.
Yep.
And so I'd watch that and like wore the VHS tape out, watched a lot of Jurassic Park, Lion King, the second VHS tape of Titanic where the boat sank. That sounds very, very bad. But if I'd known any better, I would have watched the first one because that's where the naked lady is.
Kate Winslet.
Yeah, because it was
portrait.
It was such a long movie that they split it up into two VHS tapes.
So it could be an SP, the slow play. Remember, there were three modes on a VHS tape.
Oh my goodness.
SP was the highest quality. Then there was...
I don't remember,
LP and
but...
Then XP.
I don't remember that at all.
And then OPP.
Yeah, you know me.
But anyway, yeah, so that's kind of what I did. I watched a lot of Dragon Ball Z as I got older, and I still watch that today. Love that show.
What did you want to be when you were a kid?
Man, I don't really know. That's a tough question. When I was real little, I never had like a
police officer, fireman, how we always go through that.
I mean, maybe, farmer. But I didn't really want to be a farmer.
Why?
It's
a family business.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, probably goes back to even before my great-grandfather, but of them like farming in Wiener. So my dad's been doing it for 40 years now. He's 49 this year, turns 49 next month, but he's been farming since he was like six, so over 40 years, and his dad did the same thing, and then his dad did the same thing.
Did you not do that from a really young age?
I did. I probably started helping when I was like 11 or 12, like driving a tractor and stuff like that.
But that wasn't like the profession that you chose.
Mm-mm.
Because I didn't go after my family profession either.
Yeah. What was yours? Like,
they sold cars. They own car dealerships.
I just, you know, I did it because I had to, you know, and I didn't mind it sometimes. You know, it's just like hanging out with my dad was kind of cool, but like those 12-hour days are not the best. And going out in the heat and having to work all day, I knew I didn't want to do that kind of stuff.
So you worked hard to not have to do that?
Basically.
Or is that a backup plan?
Farming, not really.
You don't think about that as a backup?
No, it's such a tough industry. And the way it's going, it's just, it's a lot more difficult nowadays than what it ever has been. Because
in what way, though? Because I've talked to people who think that farmers can make more money now than ever before because of technology.
Well, I mean, think about farming as like how corporations are coming in and taking over small businesses. Because there are big-time farmers who can make a ton of money, but they're also in debt up to their eyeballs because they have to take out these humongous loans for millions of dollars to go farm. And then when the prices start going down, you know, like, I mean, you may not really pay attention, but like the tariff stuff in China has impacted farming huge because one of the big things we send over to China are soybeans. It's like one of the biggest things. So this area has been directly impacted by that, you know, with the prices going down drastically. You know, if you see it go down a couple of cents a day, it's just like, golly, this is just brutal. So the prices of everything else are going up. So the seed and all the stuff you have to spray on fields and things like that is going up, and then the prices are going down. So it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. Yeah. And there's not a ton of government help. And with all these different regulations that are coming in, it makes it a lot more difficult. And then those big-time farmers are buying out the smaller farmers, and it's just like, man, this is tough.
You think your dad's going to sell?
I don't know. I try not to think about it.
Would he be loaded if he did?
No, because it's not his farm.
So soybeans. I know we're a big soybean area.
Mm-hmm.
But like, what do we get? Like, why do they want those in China? What do they want soybeans for?
You know, I don't really know. A lot of the time, they it's kind of
like what? Do you guys eat them? Do you eat the beans? Like
they make the oil or whatever out of it. I think it's something to go along with those lines. I'm not 100% sure. I don't dive deep into that kind of stuff.
So, like soy milk, is that made out of those nuts?
I don't know.
Soy protein. When you can either get soy or whey.
Yeah.
What's the difference?
Is that made out of your dad's beans?
I don't know. Why are you asking dumb questions?
Because I don't understand it. I've never thought about it. When you said
it's
my
a
dad.
Great question.
Like, can I go order soybeans at a restaurant? Hey, I'd like some soybeans.
I don't think it works.
Pinto
that way.
Beans, refried beans, soybeans.
Oh, man.
Ask your dad.
Okay. He does rice and soybeans, though. And rice is like the main moneymaker, but.
What kind of rice?
Jasmine.
Oh, man, I like jasmine rice. That's good, right?
Well,
I told you about that.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many different variations. There's long grain, medium grain, short grain, all that kind of stuff. I don't know 100%. And then there's so many different
names. Jeez, you don't know anything about his business.
I don't ask a lot of questions in it. I just see what he does, and I'm like, I don't want to do this. You talk about one of the most stressful professions in the world. That's got to be up there. Because you're micromanaging your own business, essentially.
Yeah.
And almost every year it comes under scrutiny, and almost every single year you have the potential of going out of business.
That's crazy.
You know, and you have to manage people, you have to manage the market, you have to manage, you know, your own employees, and you have to do so much physical labor, and it's mentally stressful. You have to take care of your family, you have to make sure the mortgage is going to be fine, you have to take out these huge loans. Imagine every year you had to take out. Imagine every year you had to take out a six-figure loan that is no less than $500,000, and then you have to pay that back with interest. That's what it is. And then he owns a smaller. He owns some acres, but he doesn't own a lot of it. So he has to pay rent on top of that, and he has to make sure the landowners are happy with him. And equipment upkeep.
No wonder you don't want to do that. That sounds like it's way too much stress.
That's what I'm saying. And it's just like, golly, there's so much to go along with that. Man.
So do you guys do brown rice?
Well, it's just, I don't
know. What about fried rice? Does he grow fried rice?
Now you're asking dumb questions.
I like fried rice.
Does he grow fried rice?
Places like Fuji actually come out and pick out the rice they want and then take it back.
They don't even have to cook it.
If your dad could figure that out, dude, you'd be loaded. So when they give you the choice of fried rice or white rice, what do you choose?
It's whatever mood I'm in and what I'm eating, but probably fried rice.
Yeah.
But I
want that every
like
time.
Rice.
Yeah.
I like white rice too, but if I have the choice of having like a hibachi fried rice,
oh, yeah.
But like if it's more expensive, like the other day I was at a place where they said to me, here's the option. Like the lunch part, like for my steak, right? It was like steak and rice. And it was like $9, right? And I'm like, okay, that's okay. And they're like, do you want the vegetables? And my question was, are they extra? And she said, they're a dollar more.
And you said,
I don't want the vegetables.
No, thank you.
No, ma'am.
Because I knew I was getting sushi. Shouldn't the vegetables be included?
I would think so.
You know, vegetables are pretty cheap. Probably.
Especially if you're buying in bulk.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I mean, you're going to charge me extra for you to friggin' grill up some onions?
It's like those places that say 25 cents for extra sauce, though.
Uh-huh.
That's a joke. Are you kidding me?
Right. The place I spent $27 the other night. Oh, let me tell you this one. And now we're off topic. Son of a gun. Okay, so I go back to that place I said I was never going to go to.
Mm-hmm.
And I told my wife, I'm not getting drinks. And so they said, well, what would you like to drink? And I said, well, does the drink come with it? And they said, no. And if you don't want the drink, it takes a dollar off the price. So I'm like, I don't want the drink, and I don't want the drink on the other one. So that should be $2, right?
Mm-hmm.
Guess how much it saved me overall in the bill?
$1.15.
Over $5. How exactly. Do those $1 drinks end up costing me $5 when you package them all together?
Wow.
That, and I sent my wife that text immediately because they said, oh, no, we'll take a dollar off.
Mm-hmm.
Yet my bill was it was $21 as opposed to $27.
Yeah. You see, it's a lot of taxes, and it's a lot. I think it's probably
more
than
taxing those? Right. It was probably like $1.95.
Yeah. A lot of the times, though, those drinks are like $2.29. Look at your bill.
More than a dollar.
That's crazy, though.
Mm-hmm.
But then they just ask you, what would you like to drink? Like, I'm supposed to get it. I ain't getting it.
Yeah, usually I say no. I just say no drink.
And save me money.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I'm going to pay for it, I want a drink. I want a soda.
Yeah.
A pop. A fountain drink.
I need one fountain drink, please.
So back to David. How much more time do we have to talk about David before we have to
go? We have 3 minutes left.
Three minutes.
Please.
All right. So, David, tell me about your sex life in 3 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Would be less than 3 minutes. 3 seconds.
All right. So, we know David's background. What was your first introduction to radio? Do you remember hearing, like, your first thing on the radio, the first thing that kind of hooked you?
The first thing that I really remember was when I was really, really little, my mom and dad used to always listen to Rock 103 out of Memphis.
Yep.
And so, it was like Drake and Zeke and... what was it, Tim and Bad Dog and people like that. So I remember that when I was growing up. And so that was kind of like my first introduction to radio and rock music and all that kind of stuff. That was like what they used to listen to. And then they ended up getting Sirius XM. And so I listened to a lot of Opie and Anthony and really listened to a lot of Howard Stern when I was in high school, especially when I got my own truck.
See, my Stern days were way before he was on satellite radio.
Yeah.
I was
way too little to be listening then.
But did you ever have in your mind like this thought, hey, I want to do radio? Because like you heard it, but was it ever something like, oh, I want to do that?
You know, it's funny because a couple of months ago when I was moving back into my parents' house, I found like this old like senior high memory book, right? And I don't remember in high school having a lot of those big dreams, like I want to be in radio. But then I was reading through that and it's like everyone's saying like, you'll be great in radio, good luck and all this stuff. And I was like, oh.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. I don't remember really talking about it much, but I guess... I did, but probably my senior year in high school, that's when I really started thinking about it. And then that's when the academic advisor made me fill out the internship form. And I was like, I'll never get this, blah, 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 blah. So I did it. And then I get the call from Mitch Mahan, who I called Mitch Mahan. And then I got that call and became an intern at 18.
When you first realized that you were going to be interning and that you would be... getting to spend time with one of your mentors, someone that you had been listening to for several years, that you actually, you've told us before that you were, you thought you were in love with.
Okay. I've never said that.
I'm choking on my Maui coffee company.
Sitting across from you, were you a little nervous that you knew that you'd be working with a legend?
Well, shut up. That's ridiculous.
At that point in my life, though, I'll be honest, I didn't listen to a whole lot of local radio because I listened to a lot of the Sirius XM, Howard Stern stuff, or I listened to my own music. And so I didn't really know a lot of people except for Brandon. That was the only person I knew. And what's funny is like the biggest memory I have is a commercial you did for Puff's Warehouse. And me and my friend used to always want to go to Puff's. Because we'd be jumping on the trampoline and that commercial would come on. That's like the one I remember out of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
I did remotes at Puff's. It seemed like almost every Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm.
me and Sandra from Puffs. Mm-hmm. And then Patty was the voice of Puffs.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that?
I do remember that.
What if there's any Puffs left?
I don't know. Mm.
So do you remember, like, when you got here and you started, do you remember me, like, saying, hey, you can come and shadow the show or come into the morning show?
I think I asked you a lot. And I tried to get in as much as I could with that kind of stuff, because I remember it was Phil and Matt on the K-Fine show, and then it was you, Lori, and Stan Morris on the Kiss FM show. And so it's like I just tried to go back and forth, and I tried to just sit in as much as I could. And I remember just sitting in the very back and not really saying a whole lot. And I would just like try to sit and learn as much as I could.
But, how different were the shows?
A lot different.
Were they?
In hindsight, yeah, they were a lot different.
In what way, though?
You're just so lax and chill and...
What?
It's funny.
Depending on the day.
Yeah. But...
And they were more not lax and chill? I think our content thought is probably different back then.
Here's the main difference with you and other morning show people I've known. It's like you are just you. Like, you turn the microphone on, it's the same person.
Yeah.
As when you turn the microphone off. But I'll be honest, like Phil and Matt, I love them to death, but it's like when, especially Phil, whenever he would turn that microphone on, it was like turning into someone brand new. And you know, that's just how radio was so many years ago. And I think it's starting to transition into something a little bit calmer and not so much that. I mean, watch news nowadays. That's changed.
It's different,
too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just everything is changing on how people want to be communicated with and how they are communicated to. And so whenever
it's tough for people to change when they've done something for so many years.
Exactly.
And I've had to do that over the, I don't even know that I realized when we got more like us.
Mm-hmm.
Because I mean, like, I think some people are like, oh, I don't know if people would like me if I were me.
Yeah.
And I think we just have to deal with that as radio people. Well, you know, hopefully you like us. I mean, if we're not your cup of tea, that's cool. There's a lot of other stuff you can try.
You know,
we hope we're the most fun.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And Mickey Ryan said it to me once, cause I worked with him for about a year or so on his show whenever he was working with us. And he just said, look, you know, like me or hate me, I appreciate you giving me a chance, you know, whether it be for a minute or a day or a year or whatever.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to my show. I mean, that's the best way you can put it. Whether you like me or hate me, I hope you like me. But if you hate me, hey, appreciate you listening, because that means if you hate me, you listen. You know, that's what it comes down to. So, no, whenever I was an intern, though, I remember not saying anything and wearing A-State Red Wolf shirts every single day. And that was pretty much my internship.
What was the biggest surprise to you? You know, you listen to radio forever, and you have this concept in your mind and this vision of what you think it is inside the studio and inside the room and what the DJs are doing and not doing. What was the biggest surprise to you when you actually came in the room and you started doing radio? Mm. Like, what was the biggest, like, oh, I didn't realize that?
How much prep is involved and how much happens outside of the studio? Because I always thought, like, oh, Howard Stern just shows up and he reads a newspaper for a couple of minutes and then he just rambles on for hours. And it's like, no, it's not how it is at all. Everybody, like, has to prep in a way so they know what the heck they're going to talk about. And so that was probably the biggest shock to me, because I thought everybody just kind of came in and
talked,
said whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And some people
do. I think
a
lot of people think like that. There's some. Not many.
All right.
Not many anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I think it's overly scrutinized, and we know there's more options, so you have to be better.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, today's culture means you have to be better than what people used to be, because in the old days, there weren't options. You turned on the radio and you picked which person was your favorite. Mm-hmm. And now there's so many different options. So we have to win them not only from other radio competitors, but from other devices and other forms of information and podcasts and all of that.
Yeah. I think the phone has changed so much of that. I mean, you can get on your phone and, you know, listen to whatever song you want to listen to, whether it be through YouTube or Spotify or Pandora or your own collection, Apple Music even. I mean, the thing that really differentiates radio from so much, I believe, is that local aspect, and there's actually someone in your city, and then the personality that they bring. Because I don't think people really, you know, I think people enjoy the radio. It's just different nowadays. You got to have that personality. You got to have someone that's fun and energetic and here with you right now, you know?
Because, and we'll kind of wrap up on this one for like a part one of David. But like, okay, let's say you're local and our company is very much, hey, local, talk about local, be local, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
But like local, it needs to be local fun or local in a fun way or somebody who's fun and local or whatever that is going to be. because nobody clamors to meet the guy who does the news as far as on radio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, you do the news. Like, most people don't clamor for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You clamor for the entertainment aspect and the people who are entertaining you.
And there are always entertaining ways to bring up local events. You don't have to, like, read off a piece of paper and, you know, that was so-and-so, and here's what's happening in such-and-such. It's the pie drive. You know, it's like, is that really going to, like, make me want to stick around?
I'd go to a pie drive.
I'm just saying, like, you know what I mean.
You're an idiot.
There's part one. What's going to be the next question? Let's leave them with the cliffhanger.
What's been the toughest thing that you've had to overcome? Because I know you're a really shy person. And what's been the toughest thing you've had to overcome just being who you are with this industry?
No answer. That's our cliffhanger.
I'll have to think on that one.
And I also want to know how much your fiance hates what you do.
Ooh, man.
Another cliffhanger. We'll see y'all.